And we're off and running on a fantastic, a fabulous, a feeling fine Friday edition. Oh, it's a football Friday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Wait a minute, I got a schedule here. Football.
We head into the
football
3-day party weekend, and we launch it right about now.
Where's the?
This is the football time. It would be in Indianapolis right now is where the football is indeed. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. That's 814-954-7266.
When does that spring football league start? Is it late March, I think?
Like something.
In a few weeks, what's it called, UFL now or something? I don't know what it's called. So when you're like, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I got to get a different calendar here.
Oh, boy.
It's like, this isn't right. There's something wrong here. All right, folks, got a busy show going into a fun weekend.
We have a fun weekend.
Got a great guest in the second hour. Our friends, again, our sponsor, Happy Valley Comic Con. It's time. Their big event is tomorrow and Sunday at the Nittany Valley Sports Center. Really looking forward to it. Author Andrew Kevin Walker is going to join us in the next hour. We're going to lighten up. Not so much heavy stuff today. Although, 7 is pretty heavy.
Yeah.
If you know the story, if you've seen the movie and so on, you're like, whoa. Andrew Kevin Walker is a Penn State grad and coming back to town, I guess you could say, where he is going to be appearing at Happy Valley Comic Con this weekend. And tonight, again, they're going to be showing 7 at the State Theater in State College. Mr. Walker is going to be there, going to talk to the crowd and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. He's going to talk to us coming up scheduled about 9 o'clock or so. So we're looking forward to that. Find out some of the intricacies and backdoor stuff of Hollywood and what's it like to be a writer in this particular case. We've had some other Comic Con guests, either actors, we had Bobby Costanzo last week, or people that do voice work, like with animated stuff. We had Michael Heckney on 2 weeks ago now. So today we're going to talk with a writer about that sort of thing. So we're looking forward to this. This is going to be fun. Again, if you're not familiar with the movie, you know, look up 7 online. Yes, it's listed as a horror movie. Not horror like, you know, Freddy Krueger or something like that, but more of a suspenseful, you know, that type of a picture with Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, Gwyneth Paltrow. Kevin Spacey was the other actor. He's got a big role in the movie. So how did all this happen? Well, Mr. Walker wrote it up. So we're going to be talking with him in about an hour. So that's pretty cool stuff. In the meantime, again, if you'd like to chime in, 814-954-7266 here on a Friday morning. Now, I got a surprise. About 6 o'clock, it's dark. Took my dog Domino out to, you know, do his biz. Went inside, did things, got ready. Getting ready to, you know, hop in the car, come to the studio. I look out the window and everything is white at my house. I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? It snowed between 6 and 7 this morning. Like, yo! So I hop in the car, I start down the road. I didn't go very far and there's nothing. Now, were you in one of those areas that got a snow burst this morning? Apparently my house was. Not a lot, just enough to make the ground white, and it won't last long because it's still relatively warm today. But you might want to be a little careful on some roads in some spots because it did get down to about freezing last night, and then this, if a snow burst hit you, I had a couple spots like, whoa, that was a little slippery. Oh, hello. So depending on where you are, you might want to take it a little easier. I don't know, for the next hour or two this morning, you might encounter something, depending on if the snow burst hits you. So be careful of that. All right, now, no free plugs, but I came across this and it made me think, like, we could try that. All right, the other day, I was Scott here, I was an idiot. Idiot. I spent $8 for a dozen eggs. Yep, I was an idiot. All right, why did I do that? And I'm actually surprised this hasn't gotten more coverage or more chatter. Now, maybe it will. If some enterprising reporter happens to be listening this morning, this might be worth something you want to, you know, just write a fun story about. Again, $8 for a dozen eggs, and that apparently is not going to really change much anytime soon. Now, the new, you know, Federal Department of Agriculture, they've got some plans and they want to do some things. Okay, that's great, but it's going to take some time to get those things done. Again, if somehow you haven't followed this, eggs are ridiculously expensive because of this bird flu.
They're pricey.
Thank you, yes. Uh-huh. Because of bird flu, which it's beyond annoying. If you have a flock of chickens and one chicken somehow is tested positive for this bird flu, the current rules are you take them all out, all of them. And so this has been happening in various parts of the country. So we've had a chicken shortage, so to speak. So we've had an egg shortage. And when there's a shortage, prices, whoop, up they go. In this case, way up they go. So we've got to get a handle on this bird flu. There's talk about a vaccine, not for people, for birds, that they, you know, get the vaccine, and then if this flu shows up, it doesn't do anything. Sounds like a smart idea, right? However, one problem I've read in one story is there are other countries where maybe we export, like to them, like chickens and eggs and whatever, export to them. They don't like animals that are vaccinated. And so they might say, oh, America, nope, we're not taking those vaccinated hens. Nope, not doing that. So there's a lot of moving parts in this issue, which the rest of us have to pay $8 for a dozen of eggs. Or raise your own.
Uh-huh.
So yesterday I'm out and about, and I stopped at a convenience store for a little lunch.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, a bite to eat. And I had a few minutes to kill, so I'm sitting there in the store, and I'm, you know, eating whatever and so on. And in the corner, you know, there was a news rack with, like, local newspapers, you know, what's it called, the Penny Saver or whatever, you know, those type things, and little magazines and such. So I grab one, and inside this one, there's a circular for a local store, all right, won't give a free plug here, a local store that has farm-type stuff, okay? And I could not help but notice at the top of the page, apparently it's Chick Days. Here's my
the Chick Days.
Here we go. Here's my example, Mr. Ironhead. Chick Days, essentially through the month of March. In other words, you could buy little chicks, all right, that eventually, hopefully, then grow into full-sized egg-laying hens.
Aha! Uh-huh.
All right, and I'm like, now this brought back memories, because when my wife and I bought our house over 35 years ago,
those were the days.
It came with a chicken coop with chickens. In other words, the prior owner of the home had a chicken coop with chickens, and they weren't taking them with them. Okay, so we inherited, as I recall, it was about a dozen hens, Rhode Island red hens. And they were, with eggs, they were very productive. So I took care of them for a number of years, didn't do anything special, and so over a period of several years, they kind of slowly expired, if you will, okay, until there were no more chickens. Okay, that's fine.
And R.I.P.
R.I.P. chickens. No, we didn't do KFC or something, right? We didn't do that. Nothing like that, okay? And I didn't replace them, like, it's like, okay, we're giving up on this. Maybe I still have the chicken coop. Maybe I need to refurbish it.
Perhaps this okay. would be a good idea.
Now, this one store, you folks, no free plugs. You figure it out, maybe who it is. Chick Days. In other words, live chickens for this month. Now you're thinking, okay, how much does that cost? Well, there's two here. Actually, they've got ducks and turkeys, too, which is interesting. But I'm going to concentrate on
birds.
On chickens, okay? Mm-hmm. They have two chickens here. These are female egg-laying chicks that grow up to be hens. One is only $3.99 a chick. Now, the other one, I'm not sure why, is $4.99 a chick. They look different. Two different kinds of chicks. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I used to have a dozen hens a long time ago, so if I would want to get a dozen again, let's say I get a dozen chicks, and we'll round off here a little bit, that's like $50. I'm thinking, well, that doesn't sound so bad. And, of course, you need to get chicken feed. Well, of course, at store, you can buy, big, like 50-pound bags of chicken feed. You put the chicken feed out every day, and the chicks, do what they, and they peck away and so on, and they grow and such. The chicken feed's not that expensive. I'm thinking, this might be onto something. I don't know. Now, hold on. How long does it take a chick to grow into an egg-laying hen? Let's play our favorite game, Quiz the Iron Head.
It's less than 50 years.
What? Thank you.
Yes, I got it!
Yeah.
I knew it.
If it takes 50 years to make a full-grown chicken, yes, we are in desperate trouble. Why don't you try again? Okay, it's not quite that
more long than 6 hours.
Yes! He has done it again!
Now, if it was 6 hours, we'd have no problems at all.
I am on a roll today.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything I don't know? That is the question here this morning.
Okay. Would you like to try to get closer to the actual correct answer?
6 months. 2 months.
That's way too low.
1 month.
No, that's way too low.
8 years.
Okay, this worked well in rehearsal, but not now. Let me jump in.
All right, go ahead and jump in.
Probably about 1.5 to 2 years.
Oh, that was going to be my next guess.
Okay, yeah, sure was.
Well, really, I was guessing 18 to 24 months.
But. Okay, so 1.5 to 2 years. Now, for those of you that are not farmers, you probably agreed with one of his earlier guesses.
Yes. Like
6 hours or whatever that stupid one was. No, it takes a while for a little chick to grow up to be a hen. Okay?
You can do it.
So
the little chicks out there.
The chicks are very cheap, very inexpensive. Now, you need to get an enclosure, a chicken coop. Now, I have one, an existing one. It doesn't have to be some big giant thing. Depends on the number of hens that you would eventually end up with. But there's some money. But then you're going to have to be feeding these chicks for at least a good year and a half before they start producing eggs, of course, that you can then eat. Now, I desperately hope that this $8 for a dozen eggs does not last for a year and a half. All right. Hopefully not. I'm no expert. I have no idea. But I can imagine some people are running this through their heads. Yeah, we could get our own chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hold on.
Wait, hold on.
Maybe not.
All right. Let's maybe not do it.
Okay. Becoming a chicken
farmer.
That was
my other guess.
Now, I live out in the country, so being a chicken farmer out my way is like, okay, fine, go ahead. You live in a development. Could you do this?
We could not.
You cannot.
Well, not legally. We could do it.
Let's stick with the legal.
Okay.
Legally, we can't do it. No. Okay. All right, folks. We're not black marketing chicken.
Well, I mean, you never know.
Yes, there are some places, and maybe it's only State College, I'm not sure, where you literally, you could get arrested if you have, like, chickens in your backyard? You could get arrested.
I think the sentence these days is 20 to 25 years in the state penitentiary.
Oh, man. Oh, that'd be a reason to keep Rockview open.
Done messing around with you chicken owners.
Oh, man. So, for those of you that this is just not an option, I'm sorry. For others that maybe live in slightly more rural areas, still, okay. I mean, it would be fun. Trust me, I know from experience, there's a lot of work in taking care of animals in general, because at some point regularly you need to clean the chicken coop.
Filthy animals.
Yeah, that is not fun. That is not fun.
Does not sound like fun.
At all. Okay. Now, if you're on a farm, you're used to it. Okay. But for, if you will, city slickers, you just wait for the price to come down. All right. Just wait for the price. Speaking of prices coming down.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you that have little ones, you know, little boys, little girls, okay, just got this information. I'm like, really? Because my kids, well, my kids' kids, of course, are adults married and have their own kids, so that's a little different story there. Has the Tooth Fairy been to your house recently? All right, the Tooth Fairy. Right, right. Tooth Fairy stops at everybody's house, right, if you have kids, right? Tooth Fairy. Tooth Fairy, of course, very busy. And we have some information here from a dental insurance company that does what they call the Tooth Fairy Index. I'm like, okay, I've never heard of that before, but all right, that's fine. What is the going rate for the Tooth Fairy right now?
Oh, man. Now, first, always depress me.
Now, first off, I assume, and maybe in this day and age I shouldn't do this, I assume the Tooth Fairy is a female.
Oh, boy.
Just a hunch. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jeezy.
I'm going to get in trouble, but I just guess.
Did you not see the movie with The Rock?
I'm not going there.
Anyway, that was no
and
lady.
I've always wondered, you know, now Santa Claus is one guy, right? One guy. It's a guy, by the way. One guy. Is there just one Tooth Fairy? I think I have evidence that maybe there are multiple Tooth Fairies.
What?
There is not one Tooth Fairy. And the Tooth Fairies don't, I mean, they don't, like, cross each other. They work certain parts of the country. And so, depending on the part of the country, you're dealing with that Tooth Fairy. I've got the evidence, I think, right here. Otherwise, this makes no sense. Now, there's some bad news here. Well, might be good news if you're a parent, okay? Bad news if you're a kid. Apparently, on average, the amount that the Tooth Fairy leaves, you know, the tooth comes out, oh, Tooth Fairy, put under the pillow, you know, all that stuff. The amount of money from the Tooth Fairy has gone down the last couple of years. Not up. Gone down. The last couple
surprising
of years.
Surprising twist to the plot, ladies
yes.
and gentlemen.
Apparently, right now, for the entire country, all right, the amount of money for a single lost tooth is down to $5.01 on average. $5.01 on average from the Tooth Fairy. Apparently, a couple of years ago, it was $5.84. It has now gone down to $5.01. Now, this is a poll from this dental insurance company. It says here, 1 in 3 parents say the Tooth Fairy spends more on the first tooth. So, in other words, the first time a little guy, little girl
That's
loses a
one.
Tooth,
yep.
they get more for the first tooth, not as much for, you know, more teeth.
Subsequent okay. teeth, yeah.
Now, still, though, the amount, this is shocking. I mean, we got to get Trump and Company on this. This is crazy. The amount on average for a first tooth is down to $6.24.
Well, I'm shocked.
It was over $7. Now it's down to $6.24. So inflation apparently is not hitting everything. Oh, my goodness. So, parents, you need to pay attention. Now, here's my evidence that maybe there are multiple Tooth Fairies, because it depends on where you go in the country. The amount fluctuates. Now, if it was the same Tooth Fairy, she'd give the same amount of money everywhere, right? No, that's apparently not what happens.
Huh.
So, we have the Northeast, the Midwest, the South, and the West. So, we have four different areas. All right, let's play Quiz the Ironhead. Here we go. Which one of those four areas has the highest amount for a lost tooth?
Again, 20 eggs.
What?
Wait, what?
No.
Oh, I'm not. I'm off the script here. I'm on the wrong
part. So again,
part.
Here's your choices: Northeast, Midwest, South, and West.
West.
Which one of those four has the highest amount?
West.
That is incorrect.
Northeast.
But you're very close.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. West is actually second. What did you say?
Northeast.
No.
Really?
Try again.
With all of our metropolitan areas.
Try again.
Midwest.
No. There's only one left.
I'm going to go south,
yes.
Southeast.
Yeah, you're going south, all right, bud. That's true. Yeah,
I'm used
on average.
That surprises me. I really would have thought south
really?
Would be.
Down south, the average, again, is $5.71 for a tooth. Huh. Now, the west is right there, $5.69 for a tooth.
So no wonder so many people in the south are toothless.
Wow! Hey!
Oh, you!
He stirred it up.
You said that, bud.
You went there,
me,
dude.
Now the Northeast is third on this list, but down at $4.59. In fact, according to this survey, the Northeast number has gone down 33% in recent years. Oh my God! There could be somebody looking for a tooth.
All right, I think we have the Tooth Fairy calling in.
Oh, that could be. I don't know.
Good morning. Oh, Tooth Fairy got.
Oh,
shot.
We lost. That's probably because the Tooth Fairy. And I tell you what, folks, you do not want to be in the Midwest. Okay, you do
like
not
you
want to be in the
me.
Midwest. All right, let's check the phone. Let's
All right.
See if this works.
Tooth Fairy, is this you? Good morning. You're on Let's Talk.
It certainly is.
Good morning, Tooth Fairy. Thank you for
Tooth Fairy
all that you've done over all of these years.
Tooth Fairy has a deeper voice than I expected.
I told you were presuming too much on the female thing. You didn't watch the movie.
What do you got, Tooth Fairy?
I've got something leaning toward female. Actually, the Tooth Fairy and out west is Charles Nelson Reilly.
Ah, oh, yes, yes, sake. Indeed.
And on this sliding down the scale, if I could meet face to face with Chuck Schumer, I could raise $100.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
No. Let's not do that. We're not going to extract people's teeth.
I mean, we're just trying to.
This is for little kids
for the campaign.
Oh, this is just by natural loss. Oh, okay. I kind of missed that.
Yeah.
Well, the other way to jump up the price would be to tie it into student loans.
Ah, yes.
Well, I tell you what, if you're a parent, yes, when your kids are little kids anymore, you better start saving when they're like two or something like that, so you have enough money by the time they get old enough. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll have to invest wisely, I guess. I'm going to bet heavily on the Nittany Lions, so I'll probably recoup some of that. Of course, I got to give like unbelievable odds, but we'll see how it works. Jeff, I'm looking forward to the broadcast on next week, and got a couple guys creeping up another spot, huh?
Yes, indeed. Yep, it's got everybody ranked again, all the starters in the top eight of their respective weights.
Oh, I think we just need a couple to just slightly overperform. It's almost inconceivable what this is going to look like.
It could be, yes, historically good. We'll wait and see how it all plays out, but definitely has that potential.
Well, I know that they're saying that the coaches and coaching staff is starting to improve a little, so hopefully they'll get the guys ready.
Yeah, again, Pat Kraft had the press conference earlier this week. He makes it sound like they're in no danger of losing their positions, at least not this year.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's refreshing. But I would say, since you're so close to the program, maybe we'll put you on the search committee, and just in anticipation of what could happen, and we'll see if we can find somebody. You know, it's getting kind of old now, but, you know, we'll see.
Seems like a rock-solid plan. Nothing can go wrong with the other committee.
Yeah, well, I'll be with you all the way. I'll start looking. I know there's somebody really good, they said, at Susquehanna Valley Tech.
There you go.
I'll see how it works out.
Keep an eye out.
I got to figure out where that place is.
You guys have a great week.
Yes, you too.
That's the first thing is you got to find him.
Yeah.
We found Cale, or he found us. You guys have a great weekend, and go Lions.
Hey, thank you very much. Indeed, we appreciate the Tooth Fairy checking in with us here on a beautiful Friday morning.
I don't know if that guy was the Tooth Fairy. I think
that was the Tooth
Fairy. I think he was a poser. All right. I
think that was the Tooth
Fairy. All right, we got to take a break here, real quick. The Midwest comes in a distant fourth on the Tooth Fairy list. Only $3.46 for kids in the Midwest. That's
pony
all
up.
They get.
Pony up.
I mean, wow. If you're listening on the stream and you're from the Midwest, I'm terribly sorry.
It's an outrage.
If there's a Midwest Tooth Fairy, yeah, you need to do a protest.
Step it up.
Something. Other folks are protesting, so why don't you jump in and have fun? All right, we're going to take a break. Yes, we will come right back.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Like Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Like Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Like Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com.
The days are getting longer, and sooner than you think, the lawn will need mowed. So, decisions have to be made. Will you roll out the old mower that just barely made it through last summer? Or visit Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, and see a great selection of Kubota. Dotter Equipment offers the Kubota B or BX Series compact or subcompact tractors. Either way, with Kubota, you get the number one rated brand in durability, ownership, and the reliability of any under 100 horsepower tractor in the USA. Maybe a tractor isn't what you had in mind. How about a Kubota zero turn mower? Something with lots of horsepower and 42 to 72 inch mower width. You can zip and zoom across your lawn with precision and ease atop a Kubota residential mower. Lawn care never felt this good. Indeed, decisions have to be made. So, to get answers to all your questions, visit Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota lawn care products.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
Let's talk here on a Friday morning. It's Jeff and Scott with you, and it is time to take a check of the sports scene as we head into the busy very busy 3-day party weekend. And, well, lots to cover here this morning. We'll start with a huge capital H, capital U. I'm even putting a capital G and a capital E in this huge series to close out the home schedule for the Penn State men's hockey team. The Nittany Lions now 15th in the coaches' rankings. Minnesota is number 2, and the Golden Gophers are atop the Big Ten standings. Penn State hosting Minnesota tonight and tomorrow night at Pegula Ice Arena. Penn State is riding a 6-game unbeaten streak, and the Nittany Lions have earned 17 of a possible 18 points over the last 3 weekends. That is what we like to call in the business pretty good. Penn State is 17-11-4 on the season, 8-10-4 in Big Ten games. Hope I didn't throw you with the technical jargon there, but yes, that's what we like to call it. We call it pretty good.
Pretty good.
And Penn State, Minnesota, again, they will square off tonight at 8:30, and then they will meet again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Both games will be on the Big Ten Network, and this is about as good as it gets when it comes to college hockey. And what an opportunity for Guy Gadowski's squad, and what a remarkable turnaround season this has been for Guy Gadowski's squad. Staying with hockey, the 8th-ranked Penn State women's hockey team will open up postseason play today at Pegula Ice Arena. Pegula is going to be a pretty fun place to be these next couple of days. The AHA semifinals will get underway today with Penn State taking on RIT. The game today will start at 3 o'clock. This is a best-of-3 series to advance to the championship series next weekend. Again, today's game will start at 3 o'clock. Then on Saturday, Penn State will play at 2 o'clock. And then that'll be the end of the series. But theoretically, they want us to point out that if somehow RIT were to win one of those 2 games, which clearly they are not, then there could be or would be a game on Sunday at 2 o'clock. But because Penn State is going to win today at 3 and tomorrow at 2, that Sunday game becomes, you know, just superfluous and inconsequential.
Yes.
Not relevant to our discussion.
Okay.
Day 2 of the Big Ten Men's Swimming and Diving Championships held yesterday in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Day 3, interestingly enough, will be held today. And our understanding is day 4, the final day, will be tomorrow.
Wow.
See how that works out? Yesterday, Penn State got a good start to the day. Freshman Ryland Anselm swam a personal best time of 4:23.40, and Matthew Bittner in the 200 IM set a new school record with a 1:43.78 finish. And senior Victor Bagana had a big day in the 50 free. He swam a 19.42 in the preliminary round and finished the day with a 19.56, taking 20th place in the and earning B-cut accolades for his performance. Competition again in Minneapolis will resume this morning. Also, Lady Lion basketball closing out its home schedule last night. Penn State falling to Purdue, 92-85, your final. Gabby Elliott had a great game for Penn State, a career high 32 points, but the Lady Lions again lose the game 92-85, and Penn State falls on senior night. The Lady Lions dropping to 10-18 on the season, now 1-16 in Big Ten games this season. 20th-ranked Penn State men's volleyball team will be at Rec Hall this evening, taking on Merrimack for a non-conference match. That'll that'll get underway at 7 o'clock tonight. Penn State is 4-8 on the season. Merrimack comes in with a record of 5-3 on the season. Penn State men's basketball team will close out its home schedule tomorrow. Penn State will host Maryland. That'll be a noon tip-off at the Bryce Jordan Center. Penn State will be looking for a third win in the last four outings. Also, tomorrow, the Penn State men's lacrosse team will be in New Haven, Connecticut to take on Yale. The Nittany Lions are off to a 3-1 start on their season. Penn State women's lacrosse team will be home tomorrow taking on Cornell. That'll be a 1 o'clock start at Panzer Stadium. And the Nittany Lions are off to a 2-3 start to their season this year. Also tomorrow, the Penn State men's gymnastics team will be hosting Stanford at Rec Hall. That meet will get underway at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Penn State women's gymnastics team on Sunday will be in Iowa City for the Big Four meet. Penn State will compete against Iowa, Michigan State, and Washington, with that action getting underway at 6 o'clock on Sunday. That meet will also be televised by the Big Ten Network. Penn State baseball team is off to a good start of this season. The Nittany Lions will be in Virginia this weekend. Penn State will have a game at Richmond this afternoon at 1:30. All three games will be in Richmond, but Penn State will face Virginia Commonwealth tomorrow at 2, and then actually, I think they do. They go to Williamsburg to take on William and Mary then on Sunday, and that will be a 1 o'clock start on Sunday afternoon. Penn State softball team will be in Virginia this weekend as well. Penn State taking on Robert Morris actually this morning. That game will get underway here in about an hour and 23 minutes, roughly. In Salem, Virginia, Penn State and Robert Morris will square off 10 o'clock this morning, and then Penn State faces Radford this afternoon at 12:30. Penn State is also scheduled to take on James Madison tomorrow at 3 o'clock, followed by a game with Virginia Tech at 5:30 tomorrow, and then Penn State will close out the weekend by facing Villanova on Sunday morning in a scheduled 10 a.m. start. Also this morning, the Penn State men's and women's track and field teams begin competing at the Big Ten Indoor Championships out in Indianapolis. That action is scheduled to begin at 10:20 this morning. Also, the Penn State women's tennis team will be at Princeton. That match will be tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. And the Penn State men's golf team will be competing at the Colton River Collegiate in Bluffton, South Carolina. That'll be on Sunday and Monday. Also, the Penn State women's tennis team will be at Princeton, 10 o'clock start on Saturday. And ladies and gentlemen, last night, a rousing, stirring, come-from-behind win for the once-again beloved Pittsburgh Penguins. Evgeny Malkin scored just a minute and 3 seconds into overtime. It was his fourth point of the game, and the Penguins rallied from a 3-0 deficit to beat the Philadelphia Flyers 5-4.
There, we'll ring the bell for that. You happy?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
I'm stunned. It's amazing.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are now a mere four games below 500.
Oh, boy.
This season. The Flyers, by the way, also now drop below 500.
Terrific.
For the season.
Wonderful.
Have we mentioned it has not been a really great year for professional hockey here in the Keystone State?
No, not really.
Little frustrating. How about those Pirates yesterday, though, kids? a 12-1 win over the Minnesota Twins in the always important Grapefruit League action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Setting the tone for the upcoming season is what we are going to pretend the Pirates are trying to do is what we're going to pretend like that's happening. Philadelphia Phillies. There's no ties in baseball. They tied the New York Yankees 7-7.
In the spring there is.
Phillies will host the Red Sox this afternoon at 1:05 down in Clearwater, and the Pirates in Bradenton will take on the Tampa Bay Rays today. That will also be a 1:05 start. Lots of exciting stuff going on. Big news today, of course, the PIAA State Wrestling Championships get underway. Todd and Norm Brown will have complete coverage of the Southwest AA Regional for you here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We'll kind of begin our coverage very softly with me running down much of what I just ran down at 4 o'clock. And then at about 4:15, 4:15 to 4:20, we will join Todd and Norm from the Altoona Fieldhouse. 4:30 is when the action gets underway today. We'll follow the 17 Center County wrestlers from Bald Eagle area, Penns Valley, and Phillipsburg Osceola that will be competing. And we'll keep tabs on other wrestlers of interest throughout the regional tournament. Again, that'll be starting today at 4:15-ish. Is when we'll begin the actual wrestling coverage. 4 o'clock is when we'll have local coverage here getting underway. And then we'll have complete coverage again throughout the tournament tomorrow. Also, Todd and Norm will be keeping you up to date on everything that is happening in the AAA West Regional, which is where the 13 wrestlers from Bellefonte and State College will be competing. That is at Cannon McMillan High School. So they won't have the matches for you live, but they'll have the results for you very shortly after those matches for State College and Bellefonte wrap up. And again, they'll keep you up to date both throughout the evening tonight and then throughout the day and evening tomorrow. So complete coverage of the regional wrestling action. And then starting next Thursday, we will have live coverage of the PIAA State Wrestling Champs for you from Hershey right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox with Todd and Norm following whatever contingent we have from Center County in both the AA and AAA ranks. They'll also be keeping tabs on the girls' wrestling championships. And again, we will have all of that coverage for you. It'll get underway at 9 a.m. next Thursday. That is when our PIAA state wrestling coverage will begin. So, fun time of the year. Exciting time of the year. We'll see how many Center County kids we can get onto the podium, see if we can get some state championships, individual state titles here brought back to Center County when it's all said and done as well. Looking forward to all of that. And again, it'll get underway this afternoon at about 4:15, and then we'll resume coverage tomorrow morning right here on Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
All right, let's take a break here.
All right, we can do that. We have the power.
One or two other sports notes that we'll toss in there. Again, coming up 9 o'clock, looking forward to this. We're going to talk with writer Andrew Kevin Walker, Penn State grad who wrote the movie Seven from about 30 years ago. Scary movie. Which almost wasn't as scary. I want to get the story from him, and get the details. He's going to be at Happy Valley Comic Con this weekend. But in the meantime, we'll take a break and we'll come right back.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized T-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
The days are getting longer, and sooner than you think, the lawn will need mowed. So, decisions have to be made. Will you roll out the old mower that just barely made it through last summer, or visit Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 and see a great selection of Kubota? Daughter Equipment offers the Kubota B or BX Series compact or subcompact tractors. Either way, with Kubota, you get the number one rated brand in durability, ownership, and the reliability of any under 100 horsepower tractor in the USA. Maybe a tractor isn't what you had in mind. How about a Kubota zero turn mower? Something with lots of horsepower and 42 to 72 inch mower width. You can zip and zoom across your lawn with precision and ease atop a Kubota residential mower. Lawn care never felt this good. Indeed, decisions have to be made. So, to get answers to all your questions, visit Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota lawn care products.
Come join the fun at this year's Happy Valley Comic Con, March 1st and 2nd at Nittany Valley Sports Center. Star Wars is the main theme this year, featuring actors from some of their TV shows. Dress in costume, watch for contests that weekend, come talk to artists and vendors, and meet Penn State grad Andrew Kevin Walker, the writer of the famous horror flick Seven. Get your tickets in advance and save some money at HappyValleyComicCon.com. That's HappyValleyComicCon.com. March 1st and 2nd, we'll see you at the Cantina, made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
And we'll be, along with you in just a few seconds here, waiting for the band to warm up. Band, are you just about ready? Oh, we're being given the go-ahead. They're ready. Well, that was worth the wait, wasn't it, kids? Good job, band. Thank you.
Well done. It's a weekend, buddy.
Friday morning, can you tell? We're kicking off the three-day party weekend the only way we know how, and that is in style.
Oh, yes.
And we hope that it is a great weekend for you and yours. Lots going on out there. Try to enjoy.
I mean,
try your best to enjoy and take care of our own little corner of this planet.
Oh, boy, that's
all we can do.
So inspirational.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there we go.
That's what I do.
Yeah, Pagula's going to be rocking this weekend. Holy moly.
You got that right.
Women's and men's games, I mean, both, and so on. I'm assuming the men's games are probably already sold out. I mean, it's going to be a crazy crowd. And I can't go today, but I'm going to try to go to the women's game tomorrow because I'm a women's hockey fan. I think they're great. Girls are awesome. So I'm going to try to go to their game tomorrow if I can. The thing is, it's not at night. All right, the gals play in the afternoon. The guys play at night. Okay, that's fine. If you'd like to chime in, 814-954-7266. Again, we're going to be talking with writer Andrew Kevin Walker here in about 15 minutes. Again, he wrote the screenplay for the movie Seven, pretty famous movie from about 30 years ago. They're showing the movie tonight at the State Theater, downtown State College. I believe 7 o'clock is the start time for that. And Mr. Walker will be there, is going to do a Q&A with the audience. So that's pretty cool. You get to hear straight from the author. Well, we're going to hear straight from the author in about 15 minutes.
There you go.
How about that? So I just wish we could have him in person. We're going to have him on the phone because they're keeping him very busy today. He's a Penn State grad. Penn State grads. He's going to be on campus. I guess he's going to be doing things. We'll ask him. He's going to be doing things with students or something today. That's cool. I mean, coming back and sure. So on. We get it. That makes sense. So, again, Happy Valley Comic Con, our great sponsor, tomorrow and Sunday at the Nittany Valley Sports Center. The activities start 10 a.m. both days. You can get a ticket or you can go for one day or you could go for both days because they're going to have different activities on both days. They're going to have some costume contests. They're going to have Q&As with people. They have some actors from some of the Star Wars TV shows which is really cool. Mr. Walker, of course, is going to be there, so you get a chance to meet him. Some other guests that we've had the last couple weeks, they're going to be there. So artists are going to be doing art there, a long list of those folks. Vendors, I mean, if you're into sci-fi, superheroes, adventure, fantasy, all that stuff, I mean, people come dressed up as, I don't know, like Harry Potter or something, great. This is the event for you. So hopefully, I plan to go tomorrow, I think. So hopefully, you know, we'll see you there. It should be a really, really fun event. All right, some other quick things. So Abdul Carter now has a stress fracture in his right foot. Where'd that come from?
Doesn't need surgery.
Surprise. Yeah, apparently he's gotten advice, no, surgery, you don't need that. Now, if he got surgery, he would be on the shelf for a while. Apparently he can rehab his way through this. So the Penn State Pro Day is not for 4 weeks, I believe. And so the plan is hopefully he'll heal himself up in 4 weeks. So that when all these NFL scouts show up to see him and Tyler Warren and a bunch of other guys, he'll be raring to go. So, okay, that's fine. We had a story the other day that an NFL team has put in a complaint about the Philadelphia Eagles play, the tush push, or the brotherly shove, or whatever. They think it should be outlawed. That play should not be allowed.
Ugh.
Turns out it was the Green Bay Packers that have complained about this play. Right? I read some blurb yesterday, like, okay, it's the Packers. And they brought up the fact that, you know, the Packers used to be Bart Starr. You know, we're going back to the 60s now. Bart Starr, quarterback sneak. Remember the quarterback sneak? All right? That's not what the tush push is. This is a different play. Maybe we should just go back to the quarterback sneak. I guess so the defense has a fighting chance of stopping it. I'm sorry. There's got to be a way to stop this play. You just haven't figured it out yet. It's got to be a way. Got to be a way. So, okay, we'll see. Now, here we go again. The other day we talked about this new technology with Major League Baseball to keep track of the strike zone so that if an umpire makes a call and the batter's like, whoa, that's not right, or the manager, no, they now can do a protest and they go to the gadget. That's what I call it, the gadget,
uh-huh,
to try to figure out, okay, was that really a ball or a strike, depending on the batter's size and the strike zone and all that sort of stuff. So they're tinkering with this, playing with this in spring training this year. It's not going to be in Major League Baseball this year. Could it be in the future? Yeah, maybe. We'll see. It depends how the tests go. Well, in the NFL, what about getting a first down? Okay, and I read this yesterday. I've heard about this, but I'm wondering how are they going to do this? Some electronic way to determine if somebody has either gotten a first down or not, or maybe they've gotten to the goal line or not. So in other words, they've scored a touchdown. And I came across this one description. I'm just going to read this. So apparently they're going to experiment with this thing. Actually, it's more than a thing. All right, so I'm reading this. This is the description of this thing. It's a 14-camera system. Oh, for goodness sakes. 14? It's a 14-camera system that specifically monitors more than two dozen skeletal points on a player's body. All right, this sounds like Star Trek now. This system, along with chips in the footballs, so you put an electronic chip in every football, and the 18 other specific cameras that are strategically placed around a stadium, can all be combined somehow to harvest, I'm reading again, to harvest a fully computerized model that potentially tracks where the ball is when players are down to see if someone has gotten a first down or maybe has scored a touchdown. Did you understand any of that?
Not really.
Now, the chain gang, as we've always called them, uh-huh, all right, the guys with the, you know, the first down markers and all that, they're still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But if they actually follow through with this plan, those guys are pretty much, I don't know, they're going to be the backup plan at some point in the future. It's going to be all about the electronics first, the first string. And I don't know if the electronics, I don't know, get unplugged or the power goes out or something crazy happens, the chain gang would still be there to be like the backup plan. As I'm reading this, I'm like, are you kidding? 14 cameras, skeletal points on a body, chips in the footballs. Folks, is it possible we're going a little too far with this? Now, I've mentioned this, mentioned it with baseball, mentioned it with soccer. All right, Scott here, I'm a big soccer guy. I love soccer. English soccer especially is one of my favorite sports. And occasionally, you know, they've got to play offsides is the big deal in soccer. Is a player offsides in particular situations? Because if they do, then that's a turnover. The other team gets the ball, especially if somebody scores. Okay, and they've got what they call video-assisted referee, or VAR, and they've got pictures of the field, and there's lines, and all this other funky stuff that shows up, and it's supposed to determine if a guy, you know, his finger is offsides, like, or his elbow is offsides. I'm looking at this. There have been too many times where I've seen this stuff. Like, I can't tell if that guy's offside or not. It's too close to call. But somehow, the referee finds a way to call it. Like, okay. And believe me, in England, they're still arguing about this. Like, this isn't right. Do we just want to just not have referees at all? Not have umpires at all? Just take them off the field because we don't need them anymore. Okay. We'll just have all the gadgets. What do you think?
Maybe heading that way.
Really?
Maybe heading that way.
Don't we need the human element in sports, though? Could you do a... Okay, Mr. Wrestling.
We need the human... I think we need the human element in a lot of things.
Yes.
But that's not the direction we're heading.
Now, Mr. Wrestling, could somehow a wrestling match be officiated without that guy in the striped shirt out on the mat?
It doesn't feel like it to me right now, but who knows? I
mean, could they? Could a computer or camera, strategically placed cameras,
yep,
could they just somehow do it and determine if a guy's shoulders are on the mat and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, with the sensory stuff that they have, I mean, there might be a way to set up, oh, all right, now we know definitively the blades are or aren't touching, or, yeah, who knows?
I mean, you know, if everybody knows what a singlet is, that's a uniform that a wrestler wears. Now, you know, you hear about this wearable electronics that, I don't know, they put computer chips in jerseys and all this other stuff. I don't know. I suppose you could sew these into a singlet.
Yeah.
And then use computers to keep track of, okay, did he actually get a takedown, or did they actually go outside the circle and action has to stop and all that sort of thing. Has anybody talked about that in wrestling?
I have not heard that discussion specific to wrestling, no.
Yet.
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 Yeah.
So think about all those favorite sports. Is there some electronic way? Because we've got to be fair and we've got to get it right. Problem is with VAR and soccer, I'm sorry, sometimes they don't get it right. And there are tons of fans that agree with me, like, that's not right. Folks, are we going to allow electronics to take over sports?
Speaking of wrestling, real quick, they did announce yesterday the allocations for each weight class through each conference. So the Big Ten will qualify 10 wrestlers for NCAAs at 133, at 197, and at 285, or heavyweight. The Big Ten will qualify 9 wrestlers at 125 pounds and at 165 pounds. Big Ten will have 8 qualifiers at 149, 157, 174, and 184. And then 141 is the only weight they'll have 7 qualifiers. So depending on the weight, anywhere from 7 to 10 qualifiers from the Big Ten. 87 automatic qualifiers for the Big Ten Conference.
That's a lot of
this
guys.
Season.
Whoosh.
There will be a total nationally of 43 wild card selections. So 43... additional, they have 287 now automatic qualifiers. Just if you place in the top whatever it is in your conference, yep, you're heading to the NCAAs, and then there's at-large bids. They're not really wild card, I guess, anymore. They're at-large, and that's a formula that determines then the wrestlers. And I think all of the weight classes have at least four at-large bids. And I think there's just two weight classes. Let me dig through here real quick. Yeah, 184 has five at-large selections, and 157 has six. The other eight weight classes all have four at-large selections. So Big Ten will probably get, well, will get some of those 43. Probably Big Ten will end up with 90-plus wrestlers from the conference heading to the NCAA championships, which this year will be in Philadelphia, March 20th through the 22nd. But that allocation came out yesterday from the NCAA. So,
all right, we're going to take our break. Pretty safe bet. Penn State's got 10 guys going to Philadelphia.
Pretty safe bet.
Pretty safe bet.
Yep. So long as everybody stays healthy, pretty safe.
Pretty safe bet. Okay. No matter what happens next weekend. Well, we shouldn't say that. That's not accurate. Pretty darn good bet. 10 guys. Which, not that many teams send 10 guys.
So no.
There we go. All right. We're going to take a break. I mean, hopefully we got our guests coming up here in just a little bit. Happy Valley Comic Con event this weekend. So hopefully we're going to talk with our guest in a little bit. But right now we're going to say, let's talk. We'll continue after this.
Get that feeling. Get that feeling. This is the Fox.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized T-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
Come join the fun at this year's Happy Valley Comic Con, March 1st and 2nd at Nittany Valley Sports Center. Star Wars is the main theme this year, featuring actors from some of their TV shows. Dress in costume, watch for contests that weekend, come talk to artists and vendors, and meet Penn State grad Andrew Kevin Walker, the writer of the famous horror flick Seven. Get your tickets in advance and save some money at HappyValleyComicCon.com. That's HappyValleyComicCon.com. March 1st and 2nd, we'll see you at the Cantina, made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Light Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Light Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Light Cummings Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Light Cummings Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
WFXX.
Fox. Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It's Let's Talk here on a Friday morning. We're feeling fine, fantastic Friday edition as we launch the three-day party weekend.
Interesting that we're about to do a gloomy subject of sorts, and the sun just popped out here at the studio. All right, I'm not sure about the timing there.
Theatrics.
We'll have some open line time later in our toward the end of the hour here. Still interesting things to talk about. Once again, our sponsor, Happy Valley Comic Con. Here we go, this weekend. We've been talking about this for many weeks, and it's tomorrow and Sunday at Nittany Valley Sports Center. A lot of folks going to be there. A lot of things going to be there. Looks like it's going to be a ton of fun. So we encourage you to go out and have fun either tomorrow or Sunday or both. There we go. You can get a two-day ticket and save some money. There's a lot of stuff there. You might need the two-day ticket. One of those going to be appearing this weekend is Penn State grad, and we welcome to our program writer Andrew Kevin Walker. First off, Mr. Walker, good morning, and thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Please, it's my pleasure. Nice to meet you over the phone. I apologize for not being there in person.
We're thrilled to have you regardless.
Can we just call you Andrew? Is that okay?
Yeah, or Andy is great.
Andy, all right, there we go. Now you, we've had these ads running for many weeks. The movie Seven, going back to the 90s. You wrote the story, the screenplay for that. You're a graduate of Penn State, and now you're in town this weekend. And it sounds, Andy, like they're keeping you very busy today. What exactly are you doing today? Wow.
I'm just trying to cram a lot of things in a few days. I'm mainly speaking to some of the screenwriting students in some of the classes here at Penn State. And then, yes, I'll be at the Comic-Con. And then there is a screening of Seven tonight. It's the 30th anniversary, which is, I can't believe that's true since I must have written it, I guess, when I was 13.
Yeah. Clearly.
It's David Fincher, you know, the incredible director. This anniversary, he oversaw a complete, just a kind of 4K, a new, I don't want to say cleaned up, but he just went through frame by frame, and it's now the most beautiful version of it that's existed. So there's a screening tonight, and I think a meet and greet before. I think it's sold out, which it must be a small theater. And then tomorrow, yeah, I'm at the Comic-Con, and I'll be signing things for the price that my signature is worth, which is free.
That's a good price. I like that. There we go.
Oh, man.
Very nice.
How often, just out of curiosity, do you get back here to Penn State often? Have you been back here ever since you left?
I've been back. It's been a while. I'm from Mechanicsburg, so, you know, I do try and go at least once a year if I can to visit my mom, and I have a lot of family still here, but it's the first time in a little while that I've been to Penn State. It's been incredible to kind of, it's just so many memories of, you know, going here and studying. I did study film here. It's incredible to see the changes. It's kind of like, oh, this is the campus I remember, except for all these gigantic futuristic UFOs that have landed, which are all these new buildings that are incredible.
That's what I was wondering, is if you've just, because, man, that the downtown area has certainly built up. Campus, you know, there's some things that obviously are still holding true and steady, but boy, a lot of changes, a lot of new buildings, a lot of, space that was open that now has buildings on it. But also from the film, I went to Penn State in communications, and I am truly astounded by how different the equipment that these kids get to work with now is compared. I'm guessing it's much the same for you with these film students, because we've had a little interaction with some of the film students up on campus, and first of all, there's some amazing young people there doing
cool stuff,
great work, but also, my gosh, the facilities they have now compared, I'm guessing it's the same for you, compared to when I was there, was it's really just amazing. It's night and day.
It's I mean, look, I graduated in 1986. You know, when I was here, we were still filming on Bolex cameras and shooting 16 millimeter film, and you would send it to be developed, and then you would edit it on a flatbed, you know, with actual physical film. I mean, so, you know, that's some of the things I'm talking about with some of the students, is that now you can go shoot an entire movie and have it look amazing just with your phone. Obviously, the editing you can just have on your laptop, etc. But, you know, I think so much of the change here, specifically at Penn State, is so many of the people who donate, you know, have helped this incredible kind of revolution that you see just walking into Willard, for example, and seeing how incredibly modern the interior is and all the spaces that the students have to kind of study in and work in. But so much of it is also a result of, you know, the Belisario School, which is Don Belisario, who's spearheaded so much of what's going on. But, I just hope that the cool thing for me, I guess, is, you know, whether you're writing with a crayon and, you know, on a napkin like I do, or you're writing on a computer, screenwriting is still screenwriting. So I can still talk to them about three act structure and kind of the things that I love about screenwriting, and not be concerned that it's a completely outdated notion, except maybe the students would rather work in a 5-act structure or 10-act structure, but that thing hasn't changed, in that it's easy for anyone who wants to sit down and try and write a screenplay to actually do it.
Andy, I'm just curious, you know, what are some of your other memories of your days here at Penn State? Now, we'll warn you, they moved the creamery. Did you know?
Well, the creamery moved.
They moved it.
You know, I remember the food in the commissaries. I started at Altoona campus. I had real fond memories of Altoona, which happens also to be where I was born. You know, I miss the Rathskeller. I'm going to mispronounce it, but and it will. You know, it's all dating me. I said I graduated '86. I mean, I remember there was a place called the Nickelodeon, and it was just this really weird, amazing. Not everybody just had a VCR in their room, so it was just this place where you could go and point at a movie, and they would put it in a VCR, and you would go to, like, you know, it sounds more seedy than it was, or maybe it was, but you could go to, like, booth 5 and watch, you know, a movie on this little TV with friends. There were some big booths and small booths, but it was like a way to see movies, because VHS wasn't so affordable that it was in everyone's home yet. So there's so much that's different. It's amazing to see the stuff that's the same. You know, it's amazing to see the State Theater still there, et cetera. And I remember, you know, which dorms I lived in. So it is very cool that so much is exactly the same. It's just surrounded by all this, you know, modernity.
God forbid, Andy. Now, this is Scott. I didn't go to Penn State, but after I graduated college, I came up here for a job in the summer of 85. Now, you say you graduated in 86, right?
Right. Yep.
I was on the radio. God forbid, did you listen to me?
I didn't. I don't think I listened to a whole lot of radio back then. I don't know. I was probably desperately trying to pass my required French class, which I barely did pass.
Wait a minute. Are you serious? You had a required French class? Really?
Yes, because Penn State offers a well-rounded education, and that was part of my, you know, degree program. And yes, I was not good at it. I was going to say in French that I was very poor at it, but I don't know how to.
I was going to say, you're doing French screenwriting now? Okay, that would be interesting.
I wish.
Now, are you, I went online, did some research. We'll talk about Seven in a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you writing, like, right now?
I literally was writing a couple minutes ago because I'm, right now, I don't have a job that I'm doing for pay. I'm just writing a spec script so that it's like something completely, unfortunately out of my own imagination. Unfortunately, I mean, if I show it to people and it sucks, but, I'm just kind of finishing a script that I'm hoping to, kind of pass on and sell. And then recently, there's this amazing filmmaker, Panos Cosmatos, who directed this film that I love. And if people haven't seen it, I urge them to see it, called Mandy. It was out a few years ago with Nicolas Cage. It's a real trip. It's kind of a horror film. And I wrote a script for him. So that one is called Flesh of the Gods. And it's right now, Kristen Stewart and Oscar Isaac are attached, so that's one we're trying to get made. So, in the midst of chasing jobs and trying to get assignments, you're often doing quote-unquote spec scripts, meaning speculative, in that nobody's paying me to do it, but I'm hoping later we get it made.
Now, Andy, I don't know this. Do you live on the West Coast?
I do. I'm in Los Feliz, like in Los Angeles.
Okay. Now, if you're a writer, in today's day, I mean, we talked about the 80s and how things have changed immensely and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
If you're a writer with technology today, can't you live anywhere? Just write and send it in or something? How does that work?
Especially after, kind of post-COVID, if you can say that's kind of where we're at, or at least post-lockdown, now that Zoom is kind of more acceptable for meetings, and there's a realization that it's semi face to face. I could, and sometimes I do wish that I still lived on this coast. I don't think my significant other, Julie, would love being in the snow, but since we work at home, I figure you wouldn't have to drive any much. But the thing, though, that's hard on Zoom, and I think you can imagine it, is trying to pitch like a story to someone. It's if you're not in the room with them, it's kind of like pitching with like you sitting in a chair and they're facing you, and behind them is like the sun just shining from behind them into your eyes. You, if they're not laughing, if they're not reacting, if they're just kind of sitting there with their arms crossed, it's very your tongue starts to, as it is now, cleave to the top of your mouth, and it's very hard to get a reaction. It's like trying to tell an elaborate joke over Zoom and then just watching the person, like, are you frozen? Or so it's face-to-face is still good, but so it's debatable. But, yes, you could do it from anywhere, and that's kind of what I'm, trying to impart to some of the students and because there is, I think, a sense that to study film or to study screenwriting, you got to go to USC or UCLA or NYU, and those are all great schools. But especially with writing, and especially now, one of the other things that, because you were talking about change, that's changed so much is access, because of the internet, to not just films and entire libraries of more obscure films, but screenplays. And the key to writing is to be reading kind of a version of what you want to be doing. In other words, screenwriting is such a different piece of writing than a novel, for example. And when I was here, there was 2001: A Space Odyssey in the library. I think maybe they had the script for The Big Chill. But now, students can read, in addition to all the hundreds of how-to screenwriting books. And I'll say the one that I used when I was here and I love still is Sid Field. And all of this advice, quote unquote, it can be found on my website. But it's just cool that people can do it from anywhere. And if they come to Penn State, I think the film program is amazing here. But any place you go, it's, especially with any sort of writing, it's going to demand that you're sitting in the chair doing it or studying it. That's just a simple fact. obviously.
All right. Now, Andy, for folks who aren't familiar, they maybe have seen the word screenwriter or screenplay, all right, which is what you do. What is that exactly? What's a screenplay? What does a screenwriter do?
Screenplay is kind of the way to answer that question. Screenplay is something that you create that has a very weird, I guess unique would be the complimentary way to say it, but format in that you have these emboldened underlined slug lines that basically say interior or exterior, or both, but interior, radio station, day, and then underneath that you start a little bit of description, and in the middle you do dialogue, etc. It looks much more like if anyone's seen a play, you know, a stage play, where the dialogue has the characters' names above it, and then there's a little bit of description, or a lot of description for someone, if someone overwrites the way that I do. But the other big thing about it is that it's if you're doing it right, it's about, you figure about a minute per page. So a screenplay, as opposed to a novel, has a certain limitation. You don't, it's 100 pages or 110 pages or 120 pages. When you thump a 300-page script on a producer or your manager or agent's desk, they're going to probably thump it right back in your face because that means it's a 300-minute movie. But it's that kind of thing. It's a very unique form of trying to write. It's like trying to read a blueprint. It's not always the most pleasurable kind of read.
All right, we're talking with writer Andrew Kevin Walker, who's back in town this weekend for the Happy Valley Comic Con event tomorrow and Sunday. We've got to take a break here. Again, when we come back, Andy, we definitely want to talk about Seven. Some interesting stuff I came across online that I didn't know until you do some digging, like what were they going to do to that movie? You know, that sort of stuff. So stay tuned for that, folks. We're going to take a break right here. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Some really cool stuff to go into a weekend. We'll do more of that after this.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized T-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
The days are getting longer, and sooner than you think, the lawn will need mowed. So, decisions have to be made. When you roll out the old mower that just barely made it through last summer, or visit Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 and see a great selection of Kubota. Daughter Equipment offers the Kubota B or BX Series compact or subcompact tractors. Either way, with Kubota, you get the number one rated brand in durability, ownership, and the reliability of any under 100 horsepower tractor in the USA. Maybe a tractor isn't what you had in mind. How about a Kubota zero turn mower? Something with lots of horsepower and 42 to 72 inch mower width. You can zip and zoom across your lawn with precision and ease atop a Kubota residential mower. Lawn care never felt this good. Indeed, decisions have to be made. So, to get answers to all your questions, visit Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota lawn care products.
Okay, Scott, it's your time to talk. Please talk now.
Here we go. All right. All right, welcome back to Let's Talk here for a Friday morning. Again, we're talking with Andrew Kevin Walker, Penn State grad, writer of the movie Seven, which now, Andy, you said earlier you think it's already sold out tonight at the State Theater?
I mean, that's what I'm hearing. I think so.
Okay, that's a bummer. Okay. Well, no, it's not a bummer. You're sold out. That's a good thing.
And yeah, I guess.
You're going to do, is it before or after the movie? You're going to do like a question and answer time.
Well, I think I'm going to do it before just because I go to bed pretty early these days. And it actually wouldn't be that bad because of LA time, but I'd rather do it before and then I will sit and watch the movie, but, it's just, I want to be kind of lucid and probably I'll just start drinking during the movie. I'm kidding. It's not really. But to that end, you know, even though I'm so grateful that people even remember the movie exists, I know a lot of people haven't seen it, so when I talk about it, I try to follow my no spoilers policy.
Okay, that's different. All right. Now, we don't want to give it away, but for folks who have never seen the movie, without giving away the ending, give like the really short version. What is Seven? What happens?
Well, I mean, it's set in a particularly bleak city. It was my love letter to New York City, where I lived in the late 80s, early 90s. And it's a series of murders that are based upon the seven deadly sins that we follow two detectives while they try and catch the murderer.
All right. Now, folks, we're not going to tell you more than that. Okay? That's all there is. So you wrote this, I guess, in the late 80s. And now, Andy, how does this work? You write a screenplay, all right? You got a great story there, and then what happens? You give it to somebody. What happens in that regard?
Well, I mean, and I don't mind mentioning that it has a particularly bleak ending. That all the way through trying to get it made over the years, many people were trying to remove the bleak ending. Some were even suggesting there'd be a happy ending. But I was living in New York City. It was within. I worked for Tower for like 3 years. This was like getting towards like the end of being 5 years out of college. And I wrote it. It was an original idea. And then I was desperate to try and get an agent or someone to look at it. I'll tell the really short version, which is I happened to see these movies that were written by this screenwriter, David Koepp, who went on to write Jurassic Park and Mission Impossible and War of the Worlds. He's the nicest guy on the face of the earth. He deserves all the massive success that he's had, but especially because he was still listed. I was living in New York. He was still listed in the phone book. People who don't know, that was the version of the internet back then. And I called him, and he picked up the phone, and I asked if, you know, he didn't know me from anyone, and I said, look, I'm a screenwriter working at Tower Records, and I would love if you would read my script because no agent will look at it without it being recommended by someone they trust. And he just happened, as I say, to be the nicest guy in the world, and he showed it to his agent. And that just began a process of it going around with its bleak ending and not selling. We were trying to sell it and set it up. And then it was finally optioned, which gave me enough money to move from New York to Los Angeles. And over the course of like 5 years, it was being rewritten and drastically changed for a different director. But then thankfully, at a certain point, David Fincher, who had directed Alien 3, came through the door and kind of saved it, saved the ending and made it the film it is today.
Otherwise, the ending of the movie would have changed, and you would have had no power to change it back. Is that
screenwriters
right?
Don't have much power. they just don't. And so it's kind of like when you find a director. Someone that I do consider like a genius, like David Fincher, you know, it's kind of a marriage, and the kismet of it is so important. And I've been very, very lucky to work with him on The Game and Fight Club, and I've done rewrites for him of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which I don't know that it'll ever get made. And I did a rewrite of The Girl Who Played with Fire, which was, so I've just, and then more recently, the last thing was The Killer with Michael Fassbender that's on Netflix now. You're just hoping to be in agreement and see eye to eye with the director. It happens very often that you don't, but Fincher just happens to be collaborative. But yeah, I had already rewritten it drastically for a different director, and already kind of, in my opinion, kind of ruined it before David even came into the picture.
Hmm. Now, do you have any kind of input on the actors that end up with the roles that you wrote? Do you have any input there?
No. You know, the cliche is, I'm trying to figure out how to tell it without being offensive, but, you know, the old joke would be, you know, the actors who made the mistake of trying to get ahead in the business by sleeping with the screenwriter. I mean, screenwriters just don't have a lot of power. He just... there's a little bit, and yeah, I mean, your opinion is sometimes asked. It depends on, it very often depends on the producer and the director, how much they care what you know, what your opinion is.
Now, the actors, all right, I saw, I guess it's a movie poster from 30 years ago, a very young-looking Brad Pitt from 30 years ago, Morgan Freeman, who also looks younger. Gwyneth Paltrow, who looks very younger. Kevin Spacey, who's kind of on the outs now, but Kevin Spacey, I mean, were you happy when they made whoever made the choices of the actors? Like, gee, I kind of wish it was Harrison Ford or something like that.
No, I mean, please, when they tell you Morgan Freeman's going to be in your film, you just jump for joy. From every single person. I mean, Richard Roundtree is in this movie. I mean, Shaft. It's like, it's a dream come true. John C. McGinley's in it. Arlie Ermey is in it. It's like, the way to describe it is that, because there are a lot of trials and tribulations, it's just the way it is for screenwriters. This is the one they can't take away from me. Same thing happened on The Killer. I mean, it's winning the lottery to get a movie made. It's essentially winning the lottery like twice in one day to get a movie made that you're proud of. This is set experience on Seven, and the same thing happened on The Killer and other stuff that I've done with David Fincher. This was my expectations being exceeded every step of the way of the process. And it's just, like I say, it's incredibly gratifying that people even know that this movie still exists out there. And it's so cool to me that it had a brief, recent re-release on IMAX screens. Fincher, that meticulous artist that he is, he's remastered it not just in 4K, but he's remastered it in 8K, so it's kind of a little bit future-proof as far as the prints go.
Did having something like this occur as early in your career as it did? Did it set any false expectations for you? Because you're saying, I mean, this is kind of magic that happened here. Were you thinking, oh, this is just the way this goes, and it's going to be one after the other? You were pretty savvy.
I don't know that anyone who knows me would ever describe me as savvy, but I had definitely been through the ringer already, having rewritten it for a different director, and because I was, fresh off the, cabbage cart or whatever expression you want to say, I was, new to Hollywood. I was dutifully, following, what was being prescribed by the director and making changes at his behest. I've learned over the years that, you really have to make decisions about whether you're going to stick around and kind of, you know, change things, maybe not to your liking, on screenplays that are going through the process. So because I had, so what my point there is that I've learned kind of to step away from projects if I don't want to be the one who's taking it in a direction that I don't think is improving it. That's one way of saying that I'm an incredible, you know, persnickety brat. But if I hadn't been around, like, doing those, you know, weird kind of, you know, completely altering rewrites on Seven, then I wouldn't have been the dork that was brought into a meeting with David Fincher. It would have been some other writer down the line, probably. Just briefly, I mean, the only reason that David came in, and it wasn't just David, it was Mike DeLuca at New Line, and it was Brad, and it was Morgan, and Kevin, and everyone, like, kind of protecting the ending. Fincher was accidentally sent my first draft. And that first draft is also on my website, which isn't, so it just goes to show that if he hadn't accidentally been sent the wrong draft and then discussed it with them on the phone and mentioned a specific element of the ending, and they stopped the conversation and said, oh, no. That's not the one we want to make. Then they sent him the rewritten one, and he said, no, I'm not interested in that. He went back to the first draft. All because of that accident is the only reason I'm sitting here at Penn State, you know, talking to a few students and speaking to you today. I mean, it's all thanks to Fincher and a kind of mistake that was made.
Good mistake.
Yeah, thank God.
Very
amazing.
Good mistake. Now, Andy, is again, for folks that aren't familiar, Seven's a bleak movie, okay?
Slightly bleak. Yes,
Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp. I've seen that movie, Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp, which is kind of dark. And eight millimeter. And some
which
others.
I've never seen.
That's just your genre, or is it possible for a screenwriter to get kind of typecast, like, oh, Walker, he only writes bleak stuff? All right. Well, how does that work?
I think there is that possibility. 8mm happens to be one that, just for me personally, I never saw the movie, because that one I didn't see eye to eye with the director, and it was just going to be too painful for me to see how much it changed, even though I love the cast, et cetera, et cetera. To answer your question, I mean, the thing that I was just trying to be careful of early on, because it doesn't seem like a long time to me now, because now I have screenplays that I've written literally like 20 or 15 years ago that I'm still trying to get through the process and trying to get made, and they probably won't be. But it took 5 years for Seven to get made, and during that time, I was often... It was a great writing sample. So even if it was never going to get made, and by great, I only mean that it functioned well as one. I'm not saying it was great writing, but it worked for me to get a few jobs here and there. So the thing that I was just cautious of or conscious of was, hey, don't just become the serial killer guy. Don't take another serial killer job. Even though I do think Sleepy Hollow, which was this amazing special effects artist, Kevin Yeager, the gentleman who created Chucky and like who did the Crypt Keeper for Tales from the Crypt, that show on HBO from years ago. It was his idea to adapt Sleepy Hollow, even though Sleepy Hollow was one that we adapted the story from, and in that sense, cut from whole cloth, even though we were using source material. And I do consider The Headless Horseman to be a kind of version of a serial killer. I don't mind being typecast within what I call one of my favorite genres, which is, I call it the cinema of discomfort. Movies that take you in the safety of your seat in the theater or your couch at home to these places you would never want to go in real life. But there's a roller coaster aspect to experiencing something like Seven, and then, you know, but from the safety of your couch rather than having to go live in New York City like I did. So I'm not worried about people thinking stuff I write is bleak. That's fine with me. Some of my favorite movies are like Midnight Cowboy, Taxi Driver, Straight Time, etc. A lot of movies that I would put under that umbrella of cinema of discomfort. But I don't want to just write the same thing within a certain kind of genre. And I have written comedies. We wrote an animated movie that a friend and I actually self-financed called Nerdland, that's out there with Patton Oswalt and Paul Rudd doing the voices in it, and an amazing cast. Sleepy Hollow has a much more upbeat ending because that's appropriate for it. So I don't worry about it. I like genre stuff. I love detective stuff. You know, if I can pull it off, I just try and do the best I can do within the genre of whatever job I'm lucky to get.
I don't know, Andy. I can't say, this is Scott. I can't say I'm a big movie goer, but there's so many sequels out. You know, version 2, version 3, you know, all this sort of. Is there a problem coming up with original ideas? Like some brand new, out of right field idea for a movie? Is that hard or something?
It is hard, I think, but the honest thing is, for any writer, and I think it's very freeing once you accept it, is that there really isn't anything new under the sun. There's nothing that hasn't been done. It's just that your voice is what's going to make it different. And my constant advice to any screenwriter or any of these students I'm talking to here, or if I occasionally go to the Austin Film Festival, which is a screenwriter-centric film festival, is to be writing just a movie that you want to see, not trying to write a movie that you want to sell. But I agree. I mean, I don't mind sequels. I mean, Godfather 2 is one of the greatest movies made on the face of the earth. I'm very glad they never managed, and they tried, to make a sequel or prequel to 7. But if you think about, like, the movies that people gravitate towards, I'll give just Oppenheimer as an example, you know, there is still original stuff that's being made, and frankly, there's tons and tons of you know, indie, smaller movies that are, you know, bursting with creativity and originality. It's just, I'll quote, you know, our pal David Fincher again, or for the first time, but, you know, drop his name again, just to say, you know, what I saw David say at some point, and it's very true, I think, is it's never been easier to kind of get movies made, especially if you're on a smaller scale, budgetarily. But it's also never been harder because of how much material is out there before audiences to get a movie seen.
Well, Happy Valley Comic Con, all right, tomorrow and Sunday. The Empire Strikes Back was a sequel. And a great movie.
Yep.
I mean, that was a great story.
Yeah.
So some sequels are good. Other sequels are like, why did they spend money making that thing? Yeesh.
Yeah. It's if you look back at some of the history of Hollywood, like the old days that some people are pining for, it's also almost all sequels. It's kind of incredible to look through some of this. There's big volumes of, like, the history of Warner Brothers, Paramount, Columbia, and you turn the pages and you see a lot of Thin Man and you see a lot of Sherlock Holmes and sequel. So, you know, there's always been great, you know, beside every Casablanca or, you know, Taxi Driver, there was the daring Dobermans about, you know, these Doberman pinchers that rob banks. I mean, it's always a balance between commerce and art, and I just think it's okay to try and make the art into commerce and vice versa.
Andy, Casablanca is one of my favorite movies, and I've always thought, I'm surprised they haven't tried to make a sequel, but please don't, because it would probably be terrible.
Casablanca 2. I mean, Julius Epstein and his brother, you know, Julius Epstein went to Penn State.
Right.
He's an alum. He was one of the people I met when I was here at Penn State.
Huh. Now, really quick, Comic-Con tomorrow and Sunday. Are you there both days?
No, I'm there tomorrow from, like, noon to 5.
Okay, all right.
And all I'm going to really be doing, I think, is, like, I can sign the cover page of, like, 7 or whatever. I think there's certain ones. And then if somebody wants to, they could go on my website, andrewkevinwalker.com, and they can print out the screenplay and then basically have a signed screenplay. So I think that's basically what I'll be doing. In an effort to not, you know, tire my hand because it is free, I may limit how many things I sign per person, but I don't expect to be very busy tomorrow, but I'm happy to do it and excited to, you know, be sitting there and meet some people and say hi.
Cool. Well,
yeah, 12 to 5.
Have a terrific day with students today.
Yeah, very cool that you're
giving back.
Being willing to take the time. We appreciate your time this morning, but very cool that you're taking the time with the students. And, yeah, very, very interesting stuff. Obviously, 7 is just a very, very special special film in a lot of different ways.
Thank you. I mean, like I say, so much is attributed to luck. And yeah, you know, I remember when people came and spoke at Penn State and how much I appreciated. And I had certain questions that I'm just so glad to be able to answer some of them that would have been questions I had when I was a student.
Yeah, right. No, that's fantastic.
We appreciate your time again, Andy, and thank you very much.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Everybody, bye.
That's screenwriter Andrew Kevin Walker. Again, I guess if you're one of the lucky folks that if it is sold out tonight at the State Theater, you're going to... Now, granted, if you've never seen this movie, it's bleak, okay? It's rather intense. And then he's going to talk tonight, and then he's going to be, again, he said, at Comic-Con just tomorrow. Tomorrow, what do you say, 12 to 5?
Yeah,
tomorrow afternoon,
five.
So... You know, plan accordingly or whatever there.
That'll be fun.
All right, we're going to take a break. One more segment, little open line time to wrap up the week after this.
The Fox. This is the Fox. Get the feeling. Whoa. This is the Fox.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized T-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Come join the fun at this year's Happy Valley Comic Con, March 1st and 2nd at Nittany Valley Sports Center. Star Wars is the main theme this year, featuring actors from some of their TV shows. Dress in costume, watch for contests that weekend, come talk to artists and vendors, and meet Penn State grad Andrew Kevin Walker, the writer of the famous horror flick, 7. Get your tickets in advance and save some money at HappyValleyComicCon.com. That's HappyValleyComicCon.com. March 1st and 2nd, we'll see you at the Cantina, made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Like Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Like Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Like Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Shifts and changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With cloud fax solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
It is a Friday morning edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. A little open phone time to wrap up the week here. Phone line is open at 814-954-7266. That's 814-954-7266. Again, we'll have high school wrestling and the Southwest Regional Tournament get it underway today at 4:30. Our coverage will get underway, well, with the Browns around 4:15. We'll have a little bit of time filler stuff from 4 to 4:15. Very important time filler stuff, mind you. But we'll yes. We'll get you set for all of the action from Altoona. And again, we will be keeping you up to date with everything happening with the AAA West Regional in Cannon McMillan, or at Cannon McMillan in Cannonsburg. That will be updated for you, so you'll know what's happening with Belfont and Say College at the AAA tournament as well. Again, coverage will get underway a little after 4 o'clock this afternoon, and then we will resume tomorrow morning. Jed Donahue, by the way, out sick again today. He is battling something this week, so no Jed Donahue anyway. You're not missing any of the Jed Donahue show. He's out today. He's hoping to be back tomorrow. That's our plan. If he is, we'll have almost an hour of Jed tomorrow from 8 till probably about 8:50, and then the action will resume at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with Todd and Norm Brown again providing coverage, and then the finals will get underway at 5 o'clock, and that is when right around when we'll join Todd and Norm again tomorrow evening. So complete coverage of the Southwest Regionals in the AA ranks. 17 Center County wrestlers competing there. We'll be updating you on the 13 Center County wrestlers competing at the AAA West Regional. And then we'll have pretty much wall-to-wall coverage. Probably take some breaks here and there, but the PIAA State Wrestling Championships getting underway Thursday. And Todd and Norm will have a lot of coverage, and we'll need to rest those voices after everything wraps up a week from Saturday night. Lots of high school wrestling rolling your way here over the, what, I guess next 8 days on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
So we have to send them another keg of tea and honey?
I'm telling you, they're going to need a little something-something anyway.
So next weekend is wrestling weekend, because states
it
and
is.
Big Tens.
Yep, Big right? Ten championships will get underway on Saturday, wow, which will be the final day of the PIAA State Wrestling Championships. And, yeah, exciting time of the year. I think we still have three Center County teams that are into the PIAA State basketball playoffs. That'll be getting underway a week from today. And State College will have the boys team competing, and St. Joseph's will have the boys and girls advancing in the single-A tournament. So best of luck to those teams. But always a fun time of the year when you start rolling into postseason and you have those opportunities to carve out a special place in history for yourself or your teams. And we will be following it all closely here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
All right, quick note for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Tomorrow and Sunday. All right, now again, our sponsor, we're thrilled to have them finally here. 10 a.m. start both days. You can walk in, you know, and get a ticket and so on. You can get a two-day ticket, which is less expensive than buying two separate one-day tickets if you really want to do that. Because, again, there will be different activities on both days. Let's point this out, though. And actually, I guess I was slightly surprised. Our guest there, Andrew Kevin Walker, is going to be there tomorrow. He's going to be signing autographs, and he said for free. Which is great.
Pretty remarkable, actually, yeah.
Not everybody is going to be doing that if you go to the event tomorrow or Sunday.
Yeah.
All right? Some of the other folks, like actors and so on, if you want to get their autograph, you're probably going to have to pay something for it. Just so that you know that, okay? Because, you know, folks, they want to get, you know, photos of so-and-so, or they have photos right there that you can get, and they sign it. They're probably charging for those. Now, Mr. Walker isn't. Okay, great. And he mentioned you can go to his website, andrewkevinwalker.com. That's interesting. You can download the screenplay for Seven, print it out. I don't know, the title page, I suppose, and then take it tomorrow, and he will sign it for you. That's pretty neat. That's pretty cool. But not everybody is going to be free. As soon as he said free, I thought, okay, not everybody's doing that.
This is true.
Just so you are forewarned.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I don't think they charge ridiculous amounts of money, but there's probably a charge. Just so you know that. Okay. All right, finally, we only got a couple of minutes here, and then we're done. I don't know if you're taking part in this today, Mr. Ironhead. Maybe you are. There is a 24-hour boycott of major retailers to protest high prices.
I am not taking part.
You're not taking part? Oh, I'm shocked. Okay.
Yes.
This is, I don't know why I'm plugging these people. The People's Union USA is some group, and their slogan apparently is no Amazon, no Walmart, no Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
That's their slogan, or at least it's on their website. This is a one-day boycott.
Uh-huh.
One-day boycott. Do you think Walmart, Amazon, Best Buy, or anybody else really cares about a one-day boycott? I saw this story. I'm like, seriously? What's this supposed to do? Now, the group says they're going to do more in the future. Targeted boycott. So, in other words, it's going to be against this group or this company or that store for a whopping 24 hours. It's like, okay, good luck, group. I'm sure that will make prices come way down. Okay? I don't think so. Did you see yesterday, King Charles III has invited President Trump to come to the United Kingdom?
Yes.
Wow. Now, this one blurb, it says, this is an unprecedented second state visit. And it's like, really? Nobody's gone twice? In the past? Oh, come on. Apparently not. So Trump, he accepted the invitation yesterday. Says here he gets an informal visit to Scotland. Now, you know what they do in Scotland.
Oh,
wait a minute.
Do we know what they do in Scotland? I don't know that we're allowed to talk about that on
the
air.
Well, they play golf.
Oh, there's that, too.
They play a lot of golf.
Golfing.
So we're going to have pictures of Trump playing golf in Scotland. I mean, okay. Must be nice if you can get it. All right, friends, thanks for listening. And again, don't forget high school wrestling after 4 o'clock this afternoon.
I do like the Scotch eggs. And hey.
Oh, yeah, that.
Happy St. Patty's Day weekend, everybody.
No,
God,
no.
Lord.
For quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized T-shirts.